Colossians chapter 4, if you would please. So if you found your place, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. Here in Colossians 4, I will read out loud. You just follow along silently. Verses 1 through 6. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So as we look at another characteristic, this characteristic is very similar to one that we've talked about before. And, you know, it's good to know what to say. Right? Everybody okay with that? It's good to know what to say. But can I tell you something? It's better to know how to say it. You know what that's called? Being tactful. Being tactful. Listen, I'm all for people gaining knowledge, studying the Bible, understanding the Scriptures, asking God to reveal to them these truths and putting together a formula of, all right, when I hear this question, this is the answer, and this is the answer to this question, and I've searched long and hard for the answer to this question. Listen, we ought to be studied to show ourselves approved unto God, right? Just like I told you the teenagers, that's the theme verse there. And we need not only to know all those things, but then what do you do with that information as you're trying to impart it to other people? It's going to matter how you deliver it. It's going to matter how you deliver it. So to be tactful just simply means to use discernment. And that, again, that was a characteristic we studied long ago. But we did study about discernment. And we studied about using discernment and how we deal with other people. God wants us to be tactful of how we deal with people. Did you know that as we deal with people, some people need a more firm touch or contact with us? And some people may need a more gentle touch or contact with us. You know, if I just go around yelling at everybody, that's going to turn some people off, right? But some people do need to be yelled at, if you will. You understand that. Or there may be circumstances where that's necessary. Hence my voice. I have not been at all upset with any of the teenagers this week. Not at all. They've been great. You say, then why were you yelling at them? It was motivational. Encouraging. You can imagine me trying to direct 40 kids and adults on a large open field toward a common goal of winning. All right? It's not, I'm not angry. It's like, you know, go here, go there, get this ball, get that ball, you know, stop that guy, you know, whatever it is. Usually that was Ethan on the other team. So you understand that, you know, raising your voice and stuff and doing different things, there's different ways to, and then some people, they don't do well with that. I remember when I was the principal of a Christian school, you can coach boys, most boys that is, pretty firmly. Right? You get a kind of a drill instructor aura about you, and you just command those young men, and they respond to them, to that. If you try to do that with a girls' volleyball team, you're going to get 6 melted puddles of ooze out on the floor. They will. They'll melt. They'll just, they're just,
I can't handle it.
They'll just break down in tears. I had to learn quickly that I can't coach girls like that. Like I coach boys. There's a difference. All right? So what does all that lend to? Well, it lends to being tactful. Okay? Knowing how, using perception, using discernment, so that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish with the material that we have. Let me ask you a question. Do we have something to pass on? Do we have something that's important that we want to give to people? Absolutely. But I can't give it to them, this one, the same way as I give it to this one. You know, listen, there are religions out there that are false religions. But if I walk up to a door and I say, hey, I'm Pastor Combs. I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church. We believe the truth. Whatever you're believing is a lie. You're going to hell and I'm going to heaven. Now, do you think that they would listen to me for any amount of time if I did that? Now, is that possibly the case? And most likely true? Yes. But am I using tact very well? Am I being tactful? No, not at all. And will I have an opportunity to influence that individual? Probably not. They'll just turn me off. You know, that's one of those nutty Baptist preachers. I don't think that's a fair stigma. And we need to make sure that it's not a fair stigma by how we handle ourselves. So I got to thinking about this characteristic, and I figured out how I, in an individual basis, could help myself be more tactful. And I thought these things would be a blessing to you likewise. You know, it's always good when God teaches the preacher something, amen? And then I can teach y'all. That's a biblical principle, amen? All right. First of all, in order to be tactful, I have to understand that it's a matter of the heart. Listen to this verse. Matthew 12:33-37. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, so that means if I get my heart in tune with God, I'll be able to be tactful in my words? Yes. Yes. You know, being tactful is an issue of the heart. Where's your heart at? Is it like it was before salvation and set on fire of hell? Bent toward hell? Wicked, desperately wicked, deceitful? In Psalm 51, David said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, listen to what it says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What does that direct the link to? The heart. My being tactful is linked to the positioning of my heart toward God. My heart is where it needs to be, in God's care, in God's hands. I can be tactful with my words. If it's in my own hands, if it's carnal, I'm not going to be tactful. How many of you have said something out of frustration in the flesh and it didn't come out right? Huh? Yeah, no tact. But if we get our heart right and we're walking in the Spirit, right, and God's got our heart, we usually say things quite better, don't we? It's a matter of the heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Bible says, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away this stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Matter of the heart. When their heart was stony, when their heart was carnal, what did they do? They profaned the name of God among the heathen. What did he say? That's not acceptable. I don't want you to live that way. We need to do something about that. We need to change your heart. You remember the story in 1 Samuel, how the kingdom was rent away from Saul. In chapter 13, the Bible says, "But now," this is Samuel speaking to Saul, "but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." What does that mean about Saul? He had a heart problem. He had a heart problem. And he could no longer be king. So that happened. He said, it says, "After the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So we know that that happened to Saul. And who was this man after God's own heart? David. So if we fast forward to 1 Samuel 16, Samuel comes to Jesse's house, and there's this line of boys. So if you would equate that to my time, there'd be a line of girls. But anyways, well, there's this line of boys, right? And Eliab is the eldest boy. Now remember what Samuel's comparing this to, right? Whose presence did he just leave? Saul, this man who was head and shoulders above all the people, right? I mean, he was like the picture-perfect model of a king. Except for one problem, right? That heart thing. Well, so here we go again. It says, "And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now I'm going somewhere with this, please bear with me. You say, what does this have to do with being tactful in the things that I say? I'm establishing a basis here. Eliab, like Saul, had the appearance, had the looks, but didn't have the heart, right? Have we already established that, right? Now, listen to this verse. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Wrong, Eliab. He didn't use tact in his words. Why? Because his heart wasn't right. Your tactfulness will be affected by your heart condition. Is your heart right with God? Is God in control of your heart? Or are you in control of your heart? That will determine the words you say. That will determine the things that come out of your mouth, because it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So first of all, it's a matter of the heart. Second of all, it's a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the mind. Did you know that we as finite human beings do not think like infinite human beings? Remember that verse? My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, saith the Lord. But what are we encouraged in Scripture to do? Not think like us, but to do what? Think like Him. We're supposed to think like Him. And guess what? If we think like Him, we'll speak like Him. Did Jesus use tact in His earthly ministry when dealing with the enemy? Yes. When dealing with lost people? Yes. When dealing with His disciples when they were obeying Him? Yes. When dealing with His disciples when they weren't obeying Him? Yes. When dealing with His disciples when they showed great faith? Yes. When dealing with His disciples when they showed no faith? Yes. You see, sometimes Jesus yelled. Yes, He did. Sometimes Jesus spoke softly. Yes, He did. Sometimes He didn't say anything at all. Yeah, you got it. That's called tact. He knew what to say. That's the knowledge part. But He knew how to say it. He knew how to say it. So, are you surprised when the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus? Are you surprised when the Bible says that we're supposed to be conformed to His image? That He's our example? That we should be like Him? Are you surprised when the Bible says that we're supposed to renew our minds? That's how we can become tactful. It's a matter of the mind. Is there any consolation in Christ? Any comfort of love? Any fellowship of the Spirit? Any bowels and mercies? Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 3, Peter says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. What are all those things? Speech. What comes out of our mouth? For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, for just a few minutes, I know it's already 8:30. But listen, just quickly. Not only is being tactful. Remember, we're talking about not so much what we're saying, but how we say it. Now, the what is important. Please don't confuse that. But I think sometimes the how we say it is even more important. And it's going to be because of the matter of our heart. And it's going to be because of the matter of our mind. But can I tell you something? Those two are no good unless this third one is in effect. It also has to be a matter of the Holy Spirit. Or if I may say, above all, it has to be a matter of the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you do, let me remind you what Jesus said. In Luke 12, Jesus said, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." How about that? John 14, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Are you there in 1 Corinthians 2? Look at verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration, of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not yet the wisdom of this world, nor of princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak with the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ." How about that? So how are we going to be tactful? Make sure our heart's right. Make sure our mind is right. And make sure we're full of the Holy Spirit of God. That's how. Hey, how did Stephen know what to say to those Pharisees? How did Stephen know what to say to a man holding the cloaks, consenting unto his death, so that two chapters later in the Bible, on his way to Damascus, he'd be saved? It wasn't of his own volition, folks. Because Stephen's heart was right. Stephen's mind was right. And Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If we're going to be tactful Christians, I believe these three elements must be in place. I hope you've enjoyed this study of being tactful. I hope you've enjoyed all the character studies we've gone through. I hope they've been a blessing to you, these Wednesday night services.